Well, it's good to be saved. Wedding and all the stuff that went along with that, and Kylie and just them. It was y'all know my brother got away there, and thank God he came back. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Nobody else amen me, so maybe y'all didn't like that he came back. But boy, let me say that again. It's a blessing to have my little brother come back. Amen. That's exciting. As exciting as it is to see somebody get saved, it's also exciting to see one that's grown up in church and maybe gone away, but he come back. And what I was excited about is that, when you have weddings, and I have a whole list of things about weddings, that I realize as Christians, we allow sin to just come into our weddings. I don't know why. We raise them up to church, and then they're halfway dressed and everything else. And then the wedding is just really weird, amen? And it's supposed to be a Christian wedding, and you find out they're drinking over there at the lodge, and then they're dancing and everything at the reception. But I was really shocked, and just being honest with you, I'm not being mean, it was a God-honoring wedding. Yeah. It really was. You see somebody that goes out in the world and it comes back, and you don't see that. And I was shocked. Brother Jesse did a wonderful job with the vows. I love the vows, what he did there. And it was a blessing. So I was encouraged. I was encouraged to see that. And I thank God for that. And, Josh, he asked me to be the best man. And I argue with, I said, Josh, I said, get David to be the best man. And while I'm talking, go to John chapter 19. I said, Josh, why don't you get David to be the best man? I said, Josh, he said, no, Samson, I want you to be the best man. I said, I'm honored to be in this wedding. I said, Josh, but I don't want to be in the wedding. I vowed to not be in anybody's wedding anymore. I just want to sit there and enjoy it, unless I'm preaching it or running the wedding. It's just one of those things. I've done my duty, amen, and all the people's weddings. And he begged me to get in, and then he went ahead and he asked David to be his best man, and he forgot to tell me. So David calls me. David Neath calls me and he says, hey, Samson, I'm setting up this thing for Josh. And Brother Samson, he said, I want you to come down if you can, da, da, da. And I told David I wouldn't be able to, but I got off the phone. I said, see, this is why I told Josh. I'm saying this to myself. I told Josh, I'm a horrible best man. I'm not setting anything up. I can't be there. I'm thinking all this stuff, you know. And so Youth Ablaze comes around, get the Youth Ablaze. I'm talking to Michael Shane and David. And David brings up, yeah, Josh asked me to be the best man. I went, what? And he said, Josh asked me to be the best man. I went, whoa, yeah, hallelujah. And he's like, what? I said, he asked me to be the best man. Amen. And so when I waited for weeks, and I called Josh and said, Josh, all this money I've been spending on your wedding to be your best man, all these things. He said, what? He said, stop joking around, Samson. He said, you're not my best man. I said, what? I'm not your best man. He said, David is. Why did you do that? And I acted like crazy and stuff. Man, his heart dropped, man. His heart dropped. I was messing with him and stuff. And I told him, he laughed. He said, oh, you jerk, you got me, man. You got me. And he forgot to tell me, amen. And we just had a good time. I appreciate my brother. Had a good time. I heard a story. How many of y'all know the Hell's Angels? Yeah, heard of them. Amen. And heard of the Hell's Angels. They come into a truck stop. And when they came into this truck stop, there was a man sitting there eating at the diner there. And as he was eating, one of those guys come over, and they're laughing and cutting up and cussing and everything, and come over, took the salt shaker there and took the salt thing off and poured it on his food. And they laughed. That gentleman just sat there and looked. Then all of a sudden, another guy come over, took his water, poured on his food. And that gentleman just looked up at him. They're laughing, cutting up, calling them names. He looks at that thing, and he gets up, puts his napkin down. He gets up, he goes over, pays the lady, and he leaves. Those bikers get their seat. And as they get their seat, they tell the waitress, he wasn't much of a man. He was a sissy, wasn't he? She goes, I don't know about that, because he just took his truck, ran over 10 bikes. That's a true story. It's the quiet ones you got to watch out for. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts. To every soldier a part, also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not render it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for the good spirit. God, I thank you for my brother Mike. What a Sunday school lesson, Father. And God, I believe every one of us need to get it and listen to it again and again to get it down, Father, in our hearts. Father, there is so much confusion in our world today, in our churches. And God, I beg you, Lord, that you'd help us with our belief in our faith. We need it. And God, thank you. He stirred my heart this morning. Lord, I love you this morning. God, move me out of the way. Empty me of self. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm nervous. I know what I'm going to preach. God, if there's anybody here lost today, they get saved. If there's anybody here that needs to get their heart right, they get their heart right today. Father, we thank you for what you did this weekend, my little brother. God, what a blessing. And Kylie, Lord, just her heart and her family. And God, what a blessing, Lord, to see that. And God, we love you and thank you for all the workers. Bless today. Help all the kids downstairs in junior church. Help the workers and help my church back home. Oh, Father, please help my church back home. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, our Resurrection Sunday has just passed, and we preach about Jesus, and we know the story. Jesus was falsely accused by his brethren. He was put in the cruel hands of the Romans. Pilate asked to choose between a murderer and an innocent man, and they chose Barabbas. They chose Barabbas. They whipped him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They took off his clothes and put a purple robe. And they bowed down and they mocked him and made fun of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 15, verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Now, I want you to get this scene here for a minute, is that Jesus Christ was falsely accused, and they beat him, and they scourged him, and they took off his clothes, and they put a robe on him, a purple robe on him. But the Bible says they took off that purple robe, but then they put their clothes back on him. Now, I got thinking about putting the clothes back on a man that's just been whipped with a cat of nine tails, where they filleted his back, his organs and blood and gushing, all those things, and they put those clothes back on him. We know here, because this is the only gospel that says he had a seamless coat, and so they put this seamless coat on him. And when they put this coat on him, can you imagine when they got to Calvary? The Bible says when they got to Calvary, as we read there in verse 23, that they took off his clothes. You know, one of the most humiliating things is to bring somebody up here and strip them naked in front of everybody. Now, we know the world does it. They do it to show everybody now. But you can get on the internet and you get in your real room. Hey, listen, they're not broadcasting it everywhere, but they're starting to, brother, putting it on TV, nakedness everywhere. But they put shame where all these people are watching Christ die. They stripped down the clothes that probably stuck to some of those wounds and ripped those things off, took his coat off of him, and hung him on the cross naked. Now, we see pictures of Christ on the cross, and for decency, they put something here. But he hung there naked for you and I. But I want you to see as they took and they separated his clothes. Sometimes as you read in the history, you'll realize that they had like four guys and maybe a couple guys that were crucifying Jesus at this time. So they were separating. And most people say four because the Bible says they separated in four parts. So there'd be four soldiers, if you will. But the garment there, the seamless robe, they said they wouldn't rent. But they cast lots. I got thinking about that seamless coat. That seamless coat, Brother Michael Shane, is a type of his righteousness, his perfectness, how righteous our Lord is. I got thinking about it, and I wondered if this robe was the robe, this seamless robe or coat, if you will, was the one where the Bible says, and behold, a woman which was distressed with the disease with an issue of blood. Of 12 years came and beheld him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch the garment, I shall be whole. I wonder if that seamless coat is when the Bible says, and when they were gone over and came into the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent unto all the country around about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I got thinking about this, is that they got this seamless garment that these Roman soldiers didn't, all they cared about is what it looked like. Hey, we're not going to rent this and split this up. This is a good coat. Let's gamble for it. But can you imagine if that was the same garment that all those people had touched? All those people had touched. I got thinking about our clothes say something. Back in my town, listen, where I live, they don't have a lot of spirituality. It's really dead, trust me. And I know it's everywhere, but listen, you guys at Faith Baptist have been blessed. This church has been here over 30-some years with a faithful pastor teaching you and preaching you the truth. But that church has been there 30-some years, and they've only had a pastor longer. I'm the longest one right now, going on 5 years. In 30 years, they've had a pastor for 3 years is the longest besides me. And no pastor, no truth up there. I feel like I'm in a mission field. But can you imagine that this coat was the coat that those people had touched? Those people had got a hold of. And clothes say something. At my back home, that's what I was saying. I was trying to get back around what I was saying there. But back home, when I go in on Sunday afternoon to get something at the store, they go, oh, my girls are dressed up, my son, my wife, or me. They'll say, oh, you've been to church. They see you dressed like you're dressed right now. They say, oh, you've been to church. It says something. Hey, we get down the street and we see a guy in a blue uniform with some sparkly stuff on it there and everything. And we realize, get a little closer, it's an officer. Right? Hey, we see soldiers. Hey, clothes say something. What you wear say something. Let me say this. Girls, what you wear says something about you. And you girls won't wear them shorts. It all leads back to pride. You want to show your body off? It all leads back to pride. Amen. I'm just saying it says something. Hey, listen, the way you wear things says something. But I wonder if they said, hey, you lame, when this man comes by, Jesus, and listen, when you just lay there, all you got to do is touch the hem of his garment. And they said, how do we know it's Jesus? You say, why? We didn't have this. We didn't have all these things right there back in that day. How do we know it's Jesus? Well, he'll be the one that's teaching. He'll be the one with the seamless coat. And when you see him, just touch that seamless coat. And you'll be healed. Hallelujah. Boy, I wonder when the Bible says, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him. As many as had plagues. I wonder if it was the same coat when they said this, and when the Bible says this, and when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him. I like that. Amen. And ran through the whole region around about, and began to carry about the beds of those that were sick, where they were heard he was. And he entered into the villages, the cities, and the country. They laid the sick in the street and besought him that they might touch just the border of his garment. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but there's many of us got to touch that garment. Amen. Changed our life. Hallelujah. But can you imagine that seamless garment as they brought him out? And they said, oh, Jesus is coming to Smyrna. Jesus is coming to Hartley. And we begin to take our lame. We begin to put him on the streets. And they said, listen, he's the one that's going to be talking. He's the one that people are going to be around. But hey, listen, so you know who to touch. It's the one with the seamless coat. That coat was a type of his pure righteousness. That coat was a type of perfectness. That coat that he wore was a type of those things. And those soldiers did not even care. They gambled over that garment. You know what? I thought about those people. As the people watched them take off that coat, they said, I remember. Maybe they were telling their kids, I remember when I touched that coat and I was healed. I remember I touched it right about there. Boy, I remember I just touched his arm right about here and I was healed. Now they see it. All right, guys, we're going to gamble over it. As they watch the Savior crucified, I wonder if their thoughts was the one that when they touched Jesus, they said, man, this is the Messiah. He's the one that's going to take Rome out. He's the one that's going to sit on David's throne. He's the one. But as they watched him gamble on his garment, they lost their hope. As they watched him and said, he's dead. See, what they didn't realize is the power wasn't in the coat. It was in him. Now, I want you to get this because I was going to come through this message, but the power's not in the coat. The power's in him. What those Roman soldiers were doing, like many people in church, you're gambling for your own righteousness instead of his. Because it's all works to you. See, it's always the outward appearance. Well, I come to church Sunday morning. I come here, and that's all you're doing is you're gambling over that seamless coat, the one that you've touched, that's healed you. But you forget it's not the coat that healed you. It's the Savior. I got thinking about this, Brother Jeremiah, a little deeper, and I thought about Joseph. I thought about Joseph. And how Joseph is 152 types of Jesus Christ in the Bible. He was the beloved son. Jesus was the beloved son. He was despised and rejected of his brethren. Jesus was despised and rejected of his brethren. He was stripped of his garments. Joseph was stripped of his garments. Listen, I got thinking about Joseph and I got thinking about Jesus, and they both got put in a pit. They both got put in the earth, if you will. But listen, they both came out. Amen. Listen, I got thinking about Jesus and Joseph and this whole thing and how Joseph, and he's brought to the prison and then he gets out of the prison and they put him before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh puts a new robe on him, puts a new coat on him. But listen, you know what Pharaoh says? He says, I'm going to give you a name, and at every name, every knee is going to bow. Amen. I don't know about you, that gets me a little excited because they said, Jesus, we're going to give you a name. And everybody hears that name, every knee's going to bow. Hey, listen, Muhammad's going to bow. Hey, listen, all those ones that I don't believe in Jesus, they're going to bow. Hey, listen, those ones that said, listen, I'll never bow to no man, they will bow to our Savior. Hallelujah. Hey, Joseph was an exciting type of Jesus Christ. Not only that, hey, Pharaoh said, listen, I'm going to give you the treasury that you be able to spread the bread of life how you can. Hey, listen, I'm so glad, amen, that my Savior, God gave him, hey, the treasury of the bread of life that we may eat. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I got thinking about Joseph. Once you go to Genesis chapter 37, you with me, say amen. Boy, I got thinking about how all this happened. But Joseph had a coat too. And I want you to look at this coat here in Genesis chapter 37. Amen. Look at verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. He made him a coat. Amen. Joseph gets his coat. Look what happens. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. You ever wonder why people hate you when you live right? You get blessed and they hate you because you got blessed. Hey, listen, when you got God on you, you're going to have haters. They always say out in the world, don't be a hater. Hey, listen, it's going to be normal. You're going to have haters. I got people left my church and I love them. And I wish they never left, but they hate my guts. You're going to have haters. When you do right and you stand for right, there's going to be people. Hey, I'm talking about, hey, listen, I'm not just talking about the world. We know that. I'm talking about the brethren. And gave him a coat. Look at verse 23. They wanted to do something about it. Look what happens. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto the brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors. That was on him. And they took him and cast it into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So they took Joseph, they stripped him of his coat, throwed him in his pit. Then they tried to figure out what they're going to do with him. They were going to kill him. Then one brother stops him. I want you to look at verse 31. Look what it says. After they sold Joseph off, this is what they did with the coat. They kept the coat, sold Joseph. And look what it says in verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped it in his blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent into pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down unto the grave, unto my son's mourning. Thus his father wept for him. This is what I want you to get out of this passage. And I don't want you to forget about Jesus and his coat. But what I want you to see is that those boys were deceptive. They threw Joseph in the pit. They sold him off. They took a goat, killed it, took the coat, and ran it through the blood. They carried that coat all the way back to daddy. And when they got to daddy, they didn't do this. Hey, daddy, look, some animal killed your son. You know what they said? Tell us who coat this is. And Jacob automatically assumed he was dead. Automatically. So much that he said, "If this is so sorrowful, I will go to my grave. I will not joy no more." He wouldn't let the family comfort him. He wouldn't let nobody help him. He said, "I will die with sorrow." You say, what happened? He lost all hope. He lost all hope. Can I say something to you this morning? Listen, that's only the blood of a goat, not the blood of the son. You need to look at the coat again. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What I'm saying is, listen, when all goes wrong, you know what the devil tries to do? Tell me whose coat this is. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get your flesh to assume that God's nowhere around, that God's not going to help you, God's not going to do anything for you. It's all over. Hey, listen, you might as well throw the coat in. You might as well be sorrowful all your days. You might as well cry. You better not serve God no more. Hey, can I encourage you? You need to look at the coat again. Hey, because the Son is alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. Hey, can I encourage you this morning? Hey, folks, our Savior is alive and well on the right hand of the Father and has everything under control. Don't let the devil come around and say whose coat this is. Don't let him come around and say, whose coat this is. You say, well, it was this problem. Yes, my wife left me. Yes, my husband left me. But God's still on the throne. Yes, my kid's out in the world. And he's gone in the world. But I'm going to keep on praying. But it's, hey, listen, I know God's alive. And he's working for my good. Hallelujah. Boy, if I can encourage you this morning, that listen, as those guys back at Calvary saw that thought all was over, they just had to wait three more days. He was rising again. He had business to take care of, hallelujah. He was taking the keys of death and hell, and he was getting victory over death and hell that we might have eternal life. He's alive, amen. He's alive. He's alive. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to come around and discourage you. Boy, I got thinking about Josh yesterday. I'll never forget, Michael Shane, I was actually doing the transition. No, actually I wasn't. God was getting ready to call me to pastor. I was going to Kentucky to preach, going on vacation. Josh called me. He got in big trouble. Mom and dad had seen him. And your mom and dad watched Josh get arrested in front of him at that gas station. Y'all wept. And they had told me about it. Brother Squeaky, Josh called me the next day, crying. He said, "Samson, I'm so sorry." He said, "I've ruined my testimony. I've been living in faith." And Josh was weeping. I said, "Josh, I was hard on Josh. I had to get right with my brother. I got right with him before, and he called me. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I might be going to jail for a little while." Boy, I'll never forget. We wept on the phone, and I tried to encourage him, and I went down to preach, and I got on vacation, but that old coat came out. The devil was working on my mind and said, "Man, your brother's never going to get right." And I looked at that coat, all that blood on it, and I began to think in my mind, my brother's never going to get right. He's just going to be a rebellion all his life until he dies. And Brother Michael Shane, I was up one morning on vacation in St. Augustine, Florida, right before I came to y'all's house after that vacation in Florida. And I read my Bible. And I'm sitting there in that chair, read my Bible, had the door open to hear the waves coming in. Don't you like it? Hallelujah. And I'm sitting there. I was in 2 Corinthians. And I hit, I hit chapter 5, verse 18. And at the end of that thing, it says, "Hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." God spoke to my heart and said, "You don't worry, boy." He said, "Your little brother going to get right." He said, "Because if he has me in him," he says, "I have the power of reconciliation." And he said, "I've given you and I've given every Christian that ministry of reconciliation. And as I stood up here as one of his groomsmen, I sat here and watched this and I thought, Father, it came true. Reconciliation. Hallelujah. Hey, do you ever realize when the devil gets around, when you're going through a bad time, you know what he does? He wants to take that coat, put blood on it, and says, whose coat is this? You say, you look at that coat again, and you say, hey, God's still alive, and he's still on the throne. He's still got power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That coat of rich. I got a couple. I'll tell you some stories. Maybe you can handle it. Hallelujah. There was a couple over at Brother Jason Dumas' church. Actually, his wife, Miss D, mom and dad, Pat and Stephanie. And they raised their kids for the Lord. They raised them all for the Lord, but the one boy, they weren't sure if he was saved. Every time he come around, he became adult, just caused trouble. And this last time he came around, Miss D every Wednesday night would say, pray for my brother. Pray for my brother. He needs to get saved. Raised in a Christian home. And boy, this is years have passed, and he was just being rebellious, doing what he wants. He came back to their house and caused so much trouble, and Brother Jason told me, he said, it was so bad. The dad is real graceful, but he said, son, you got to go. He's an adult. He said, yeah, I was thinking about going. I said, I'm going out to Thailand to go fishing for tuna. And dad said, before you leave, I'm going to give you, he got on my iPad and put all kinds of preaching on there. He said he got on that boat. He got out there, and one day he called mom and dad and said, mom and dad, I got saved on that boat. Dad, I'm out in the middle of the sea. No land, can't see nothing. Been there for weeks fishing. But you know what God did? He put two saved boys on that boat.
Amen.
And he got, listen to that preaching. And those boys got a witness into them. And he fell on his knees on the deck of that ship and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. Listen, they say when he come home, his spirit was so good. He's a totally different man. He wants to preach now. He's moving down to Brother Peacock's church, hallelujah. And he's going to learn Bible, and he wants to preach for God. You say, what is that? Hey, when mom and dad was there, the devil was showing them that old coat, and they had to keep on looking. That's not the coat. My son's still alive. Hey, listen, let me tell you, my God is still alive, and he's still on the winning. Listen, he's still winning people. He's still saving people, and he's still reconciling people. Unbelievable. But listen, don't let that coat. I got thinking about here, man, I can go through here. Brother Squeaky, I got so many stories with all y'all. Amen. We went through so many battles together.
Yes, sir.
And times was dark.
Yeah.
As we stood here, the devil stood up here to the whole church. Chelsea,
yeah.
Look at that coat. I don't know if y'all remember, but Brother Jim White, he's going to be with the Lord, but he came by that Wednesday night because preacher couldn't be here.
Yeah.
He preached that phenomenal message. Nobody was in their seats. We were all on the altar. You say, what happened? We looked at the coat again and realized God's still in control.
Amen.
We can go around this room, story after story. Brother Mike, I was thinking about you when you went down the first time and then you came back discouraged. You had to look at that coat, you and your family. You looked at it again and said, nah. And God put you right back. I had to go around this room, man. Every one of us gone through something where we forget how powerful our God is. Hey, I never thought your boy would be preaching. When I was a youth pastor, he was rebellious. George got a hold of him. He needed George. Yeah, amen. Brother Cole. And he's up in Maine. I seen him preaching, got a tie on. He's at youth. Come on, man. We forget what God does. All the time, listen, every day we step out of our church and step away from our Bible, the devil's trying to throw a coat up to show us something and trying to get us discouraged. Listen, I understand there's times of sorrow. I understand that we can't be on the mountaintop. I understand all that. But let us never get to the place, hey, we got Christians that are so depressed, and it's real. Anxiety, it's real stuff. But we're going to pills. We're going to doctors. We're going to that. Hey, listen, his word is here. Hey. today. He's alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's alive. God's so good. Boy, I can tell you so many stories. Usually when I preach this, I tell the story about Rocky and my mom's accident and how those folks come by. My mom thought she'd send that guy to hell. And that preacher and his wife, and that mama come by and knocked on and said, he was saved. It was just God showing up. It was God showing up. But I got thinking about this coat. This coat's amazing. As the soldiers gambled for his outward appearance, as many Christians do today, he had given us a spiritual coat. Listen, I'm gonna read some scripture to you. The physical, I'll say this before I read this scripture for this. The physical seamless coat of Jesus Christ is a type of a spiritual coat of righteousness. As those soldiers gambled for something that was physical, we do not have to gamble for something that is spiritual. You know what the Bible says? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His own self bore our sins in his own body. I want you to hear these verses on the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should be alive unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And I saw heaven and open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge. Hey, listen, do you understand if you're lost here? I don't care how good your righteousness is. It will never stand before God's righteousness. And one day he's going to judge the world with his righteousness. His righteousness. I want you to get it. I got more scripture. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
It says this. I want you to understand his righteousness. It says this. It says this. But we are all as unclean things. And all our righteousness is filthy rags. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. But then it says this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to say it again. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me. He hath clothed me with a garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. I don't know about you, but that gets me a little stirred up because I'm so wicked. He took his own coat off and he said, hey, I'm going to die for your sins. Give me your coat. He took that old bloody coat and he put it on and he gave me his righteousness. I don't deserve his righteousness. You don't deserve his righteousness. God help us. He is so holy. He is so righteous. I don't deserve it at all. I'm amazed at his righteousness. The Bible says this, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Oh boy, when he looks at me, like Brother Mike said, I like the part you said, when he looks through Jesus to see me, when you said that this morning, that just stirred me up inside. Because he looks through the righteousness of his son to be able to see me spotless. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I didn't deserve that coat. I didn't deserve that coat. He makes me look good. I tell my church this all the time. Anything that I do good is because of Jesus. It's not because of Samson. Because I'm filthy, rotten. My heart is filthy. But boy, he put a coat of righteousness on me. He put a coat of righteousness on me. Blessed are they. I like this. Blessed are they that are hungry and thirsty, thirstest after righteousness. for they shall be filled. Now listen to me. God put his righteousness on us, but some of y'all ain't filled with it. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but when I put that coat on, I get up in the morning, Brother Mike, and I put that coat on, and I realize I shouldn't be alive today.
Amen.
I shouldn't be a pastor of a church. Matter of fact, these unfilthy lips shouldn't even say the name of Jesus. But today, would you give me something, because I want to be filled with your righteousness. Because I know the devil's going to come around and show me that coat and try to deceive me, try to mess me up. But I know you're alive, and I need to be filled with your righteousness. I want to hunger for it. I want to hunger for your word. I want to hunger for preaching. I want to hunger for a song. I want to hunger for you. I want the righteousness. I just don't want to wear the coat, but I want it to show, hallelujah. I want to be filled with it. I want my heart right. I want my thoughts right. I want righteousness all day long. All day long. Go to Romans chapter 6. Go in here. Romans chapter 6, if I can encourage you this morning. Maybe some of y'all need to get on this altar and say, God, I lost my hunger. I lost my hunger for righteousness. I've let it slip. I got a church up there. It's dead spiritually in our town. I just taught on the altar call, and so many people in my church said, we understand now, Pastor. We didn't understand why you told us to come to the altar. Michael Shane, do you realize we take it for granted here? Faith, you were singing. Do you take it for granted? Y'all were shouting. And I know there's guests here. But you've been doing it so long, you just take it for granted. Listen, when I left here and took that small little church, it was a culture shock to me. We had 4 piano players. We had any time the choir can get up and sing, somebody can get up and sing. I had none of that. I had a lady that was tinkering on the piano so much that Israel said, Mommy, we need to pray for a new piano player.
Amen. Yeah.
They didn't come to the altar. They didn't raise their hand. They didn't understand all the things you've been taught. That takes years. David, you were raised in it. It's just normal to you. When those camera guys were looking around yesterday as Chris was preaching, like, oh my soul. And we get so used to it. When is the last time you hungered for his righteousness? Well, you went home, hey, and you said, baby, we're going to clean out the videos.
Amen.
We're going to have to change the way we talk. We've allowed some things to come into the house. When if you desired, see, that righteousness, that perfectness, that holiness that they touched the hem of his garment healed them. And when he died, he said, listen, you can gamble all you want for that garment there, because that's just the outward. He said, but I'm going to give you something spiritual.
Yeah.
When's the last time you got on the altar and said, God, I need to clean my heart out, all the filthy thoughts.
Amen.
All the lust, pride, arrogance, envy, strife. Listen, there's a wedding going on, I understand, but people complaining about this. Man, no, my brother's getting married, man. And he was reconciled.
Yeah.
Stop complaining. I know everything don't go right. He gonna walk up here and get married.
Yeah.
And he's coming back here. He's not leaving here. He's coming back here because he wants to do something for God. I know he's not perfect. He got a lot to grow up to do. I know. It's my brother. But don't we all? Don't we all? Man, what a thing of righteousness. When we get his coat is right, I want you to see this and we'll be done. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 16. Y'all make me too comfortable. I get talking about all kinds of things here. Get y'all scared. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto what?
Righteousness.
But God be thanked. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye now have obeyed from the heart. That have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which we deliver unto you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, into iniquity, unto iniquity, even so ye yield your members servants of righteousness unto what? Holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Boy, I can't imagine that. Oh, thank you, Lord. That fruit, what fruit had ye then in these things? Whether ye know now are ashamed. For the end of these things are death. But now, being made free from sin, hallelujah, became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto what? Holiness and the end of everlasting life. You know what I want my fruit to be? Holiness. Holiness. You know what happens, folks? Spiritually. Listen to me. Spiritually. When you got saved, God put a coat of righteousness on you. You agree with that? You agree with that?
Yeah.
Amen. But we also have another coat. Say, what is that? The flesh. You know what this coat of flesh wants to do? Does not want to let that righteousness coat shine. And what Paul's talking there is that you don't have to be servants of sin. But we wear a coat inside that's a coat of righteousness. When the Father sees us and the accuser of the brethren says, hey, look at this. He said, no, they're bought with the blood of my son. And they're wearing a coat of righteousness. But I know their life ain't living up to it. I know you can't see it, devil. World, I know you can't see it. But they did get saved. I don't want that. I want that this outward gets cleaned up. Because, listen, and when I'm talking about outward, let me say this. It comes from the heart. Because if you read there, if you want any change in Romans right there we just read, it says doctrine, right? It says heart, and it says believe. So there's three things for change. Listen, you come up to this altar and cry all you want. You can come up to the altar, but there's three types of change. You got to acknowledge it, doctrine. You got to believe it in your heart. And then you got to do something about it. Obey it. That's true change. And it's right there. You know what we see? Only two most of the time. And we wonder, why are they just there for a little while and then they're choked out? Wonder why they didn't get no moisture, as the parable says. Wonder why they don't stay in. Wonder why they don't have the blessings in their life. Why are they going through so much trouble? And listen, I'm not saying this prosperity thing, but what I'm saying is I've watched Christians now go through trouble, but in trouble because of their own stupidity. Not because God's getting the glory out of it. Because you've only done two. And the last one is obey. And we don't. So my question here today, are you gambling for his garment? Are you looking at the garment and saying, you know what? God has something. God's still alive. And I'm going to stay strong. I'm going to do right. I'm going to obey his word. I'm going to get that tape down and learn about a faith and believe. Where are you today? Why don't you stand as the piano player comes? Altar's open. Why don't you come? I want to encourage you. Hey, listen, you said you might need to come down here just today and say, man, I've been living right. I've been obeying. Maybe you want to thank God for your coat of righteousness.